This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half of the Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week as usual by Tom and Donny. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not bad. How are you doing, Donny? Back for your holidays?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Good to be back.
Excellent. Right, before we go into the nitty-gritty stuff, we'll do a bit of the housekeeping. We'll start off with the Kevin Van Veen Cup. The first round is in the bag. Certain podcast members haven't made it to the second round, but more on that later. The end of you took part in it, you'll see your score is updated on my Twitter page. At the end of this podcast, the second round will be drawn by these two other gentlemen, and you'll know you've got the next round. I have a bit of time to work the team out because obviously the cup, League Cup this weekend in Scottish football, so you won't have any worry about the weekend after. But I'll post the draw up and then retweet into the time. We'll go to our own fantasy podcast league. Now we're in week 2 to see if there's any movement. So still the same person, number 1, Finn's Fun Boys. He's number 1 with 160 points overall. Second is Nairn County, that's Ash Nairn. He takes part in all their cups, he's quite high up, 147. And third is Secret Juice, Paul Costa, 911-144. So that is that. So we'll go to our own score and rank. So reverse order, Donald, come to you this week. A much better game week, but...
Yes, so holidays impacted on the first game. We got a bit of a shocker, but we're back on track now. I did have to make a -4 with that O'Hara team news. So my total for the week was 68 -4, took me to 64. So starting in goals with Clark for 8, Captain Tav for 12, Obelai 1, Kingsley 6, Suar 3, Morris 2, Spittle 1, Cantwell 8, Abada 7, Furuhashi vice-captain 13, and Lammers for 7. So all in, that took me to my 64. My global score is 122. I was about 4,500. I am 1,313th. So big green arrow, and hopefully that continues.
I was going to say, it's one of the biggest jumps. Right, Tom, yourself, your score this week and your rank?
I got 63 points this game week. I also had Clark in goals for 8. James Brown got me 7. Captain Tab, 14. Stevenson, 1. Suari, 3. I had too many non-playing players here. So Leslie, the non-playing player, stayed in my team and got me 0. Spittle, 1. Abada, 7. Up front, Danilo, 9. Vice-captain Furuhashi, 13. And Simon Murray got me 2. And my overall rank is 920th.
Okay, I'll look at myself. I finished this week 69 points. I had Clark in goals, 8 points. Brown for 7. Captain Tav, 12. Suari, 3. So close to that to having clean sheet points for Suari. I didn't realize he exceeded so late on. Miller, 2. Turnbull, 0 because he got booked and got hooked. Cantwell, 8 points. Abada, 7. Tagawa off the bench for 2. Vice Captain Furuhashi, 13. Lammers, 7. None else on the bench, which gives me a global rank of 330th so far. So, not to be clear, a decent start for me. But only 11 points in between you and you, Donny. Showed you the ranks are still quite bunched up. One good game, you're back up there again. Right, Tom, over to you with the results of the weekend.
Yep. First game then, we've got Rangers 4, Livingston 0. We had goals from Lammers. Danilo scored with an assist from Barisic. Abdallah Sima scored and Kieran Dowell with an assist from Matondo. Sima, Danilo and Cifuentes all had the most shots on target with 2, and Danilo hit the woodwork as well. He had the most total shots with 6. Tav yet to return attacking-wise, but managed a clean sheet in this fixture, though you probably would expect it at home to Livingston, who are severely lacking up top. Speaking of Livingston, it's hard to judge them in these kind of fixtures. So not really much to say on them. I'll be interested to hear what you guys have got to say and who the best Rangers attackers would be. And probably if either of you are considering moving off Captain Tav, or is it too early to say? I'll come to you first, Donny. What do you reckon?
Okay, so I've not seen a lot of Rangers this season because I've been on holiday and then they lost to Kilmarnock and certainly wasn't going to watch that one. But I was quite pleased with this one. I mean, Livingston cause a lot of teams problems. They dig in and they're hard to break down. But the Rangers got there in the end. What was pleasing, I've seen it a few times from Rangers now, is that it seems now every time we're on an attack, there's at least 2 players in the box. And that's probably a big change from what we've had in the past, whether it was Morelos or anyone else. So I think hopefully you see a much more free-scoring Rangers over the course of the season, which would be a nice thing. Fantasy-wise, you know, it is hard to pin down that third player. You've got Tavernier, you've got Cantwell. I've got Lammers at the moment. I think he'll return quite a lot of weeks. Other weeks you might miss out. Because there's such an abundance, game time isn't guaranteed for any of them. But as we saw at the weekend, you know, the variety of goal scorers, you could easily come off the bench, get a goal, get an assist and contribute there. So it will just be luck some game weeks. I'll stick with Lammers for the moment until I see any change. There is an argument that you could go double defence as well. I know we've got a question on that. But very pleasing that we've got off the points with a good win. You'll have plenty of time before the next fixture. We've got a European game tonight, which I'm sure you both wish them well. And we've got the League Cup at the weekend before we hit that game week 3. Game week 4, obviously, is Rangers-Celtic, which I know causes a lot of issues for managers. So just bear that one in mind when you are planning that they'll have a dodgy one there. But a pleasing win for Rangers. Good to get amongst the goals. Good to see a few different goal scorers. That's probably not something we've had in the past from a Rangers team. And definitely things to look forward to after that game week 1 slip up.
You sticking with Captain Tav?
I think you have to at the moment. I mean, penalties is one aspect of his game, but you know, he does score a lot of free kicks, assists. You know, 2 games where we lost 1 isn't really enough data. So I'd stick with him until it's proved otherwise. I think he'd be foolish after 2 games to change.
Yeah. Peter, what do you reckon?
I was getting the opinion of Rangers fans at the weekend. Just wanted to see their take on it. Like Hugh, who plays a game, obviously he's thief from the cup as well. And he seems to think, and this is Swanee as well, by the way, Tavernier's kind of regressed a lot over the past year, but he's still on free kicks and penalties. That's if you look at it from the fantasy point of view, so I'm still more inclined to stick with him. But it's kind of, I'm going to watch a lot more about if he's dropped him off, because he's in his 30s now. If he's dropped him off and he's more prone to mistakes and he's more prone to maybe not keep clean sheets, then the Rangers captain I think could be coming to an end, but not anytime soon. He's on pens if he kept it on his side. He's just got to. I'm hoping people start to come off him, then he becomes a differential. That makes sense because it's people are moving off it. I've noticed in the Mega League, a lot of the top 10, top 15 teams haven't got Tavernier, so they've decided to go without it to start. It's worked so far because there's been big scores everywhere and people have obviously vice captain at the right time. I don't know if you'll get away with that the full season. I think that'll come back and bite you. I think you would need to be. I mean, Rangers at home with Livingston. If I hadn't looked at that score and didn't see it and it was 4-0, I'd assumed that one of those would be an assist or a tab free kick or a penalty or something. But obviously, it wasn't this time, but it could be next time. Other assets, Cantwell. I've got Cantwell and Lammers, same as you, Donny, but Cantwell's going to be a bit deeper, which would be a bit concerning. And Lammers, I seem to think he seems to be a lot. He's really hard working. in that kind of tennis role. So I think he puts a hard work in. That'll bode well with the manager and the fans. I think Lammers probably the one I'm quite happy to nail with right now. Does he go left or right? It works. He kind of sliced. He goes to the right wing, and one of the strikers goes to the left wing, and it goes like a 4-3-3, but they kind of manoeuvre about the place.
So yeah, it's hard to pin down. They do tend to move around a lot, but he has played every game, so Beale obviously likes him. It's the others that have kind of interchanged, but he's shown good signs already.
Yeah, it's his hard work that stood out to me, going that he's obviously that's a manager's dream. He's doing everything he's been asked to do. So he can't take him out of the team. You will have three Rangers games potentially before the next game week, so there's even more data for you. Europe, if you go through, League Cup, that probably by heavily rotated squad, mind you, so Hobie Morton, is that right? So I'm maybe not taking as much from that.
Yeah.
And then potentially PSV next week again. So you're going to have three more eye tests and have a look at the players. That's the way I look at it. Apart from that, there's no other Rangers players I think I'm interested in right now. Campbell's the one that was kind of on the chopping block, but he came back in the team. I think Beale acknowledged that he made a mistake and bring him back in. He's the only one potentially that midfielder with a proper bit of guile about him. So everything kind of goes through him, you'd imagine. So, and I was wrong last week talking about the points. It must have been the app updated. All the assist accurate passes is back.
Yeah.
Going last week, but it's back again. So if you thought last week that wasn't part of the game, it is your tackles and your shots on targets there. So I just wanted to clear that up in case anyone's thinking of making moves about that. But that's me on Rangers, yeah. Well, obviously, like you said, Tom, I don't judge any team in the go to Ibrox and Parkhead. It's really, it's unfair. It's not a game you're trying to get points from. You might be lucky, but it's not where you normally get them from.
Yeah. Our next fixture then, we've got Ross County 2, St Johnstone 0. Goal scorers are Kyle Turner, my favourite, and Conor Randall with an assist from George Harmon. Conor Randall's playing out of position just now. He's a defender, played in midfield. I think they were doing that in the League Cup in pre-season. But he wasn't really well known for attacking returns last season, so not getting too excited. Obviously, they won't be playing St Johnstone at home every week. And the goal was scored with his only shot on target. So he's not getting a lot of opportunities. And his points haul was obviously boosted by the clean sheet as well. So he could be one to watch. I'm probably going to stick with budget-friendly James Brown just now. And I'm not going to be looking at doubling up. Jordan White, top for shots on target with three and missed two big chances. Simon Murray also missed a couple of big chances. He's obviously very cheap at 3.8 million, so I've got him and I can't really grumble at that. Obviously, the one to watch, Kyle Turner, he came on at 34 minutes. He replaced Danda, who came off injured. I think they said after the match that he had a large bruise on his hip, so it doesn't sound too severe. So I'm interested to see who starts next week. We'll obviously get the pre-match pressers as well, though not all the information is revealed there, as we kind of seen with O'Hara. In terms of St Johnstone, just an avoid. Peter, what do you reckon?
target St Johnstone, I think, is going to be the mantra like this season. And the next game is Celtic at Celtic Park, so that could be a big scoring one, depending on that. Brown, I brought him in last week as well. Don, you get James Brown as well?
No, I don't. No.
No, you don't. I thought we all had them. So that's two good. That's two returns of trot, he said. I mean, that's pretty good. He's quite all action because he got an interception point as well. So he's up and down that wing pretty good, pretty cheap. I know it's St Johnstone, so I don't really want to jump too much into Ross County, but he's probably a quite good, cheap enabler. He looks pretty nailed, and I think he'll be there for the rest of the season for me, unless they fall off a cliff, unless other cheap alternatives arise over the space of the season. But that's pretty good. I actually started this week, was that confident he would, St John's would do something, so I actually played the Ross County play for the start, and it turned out. Anyone else, Simon Murray, I mentioned before, I think it's quite good, Tom. I think there's quite an abundance of cheap striking assets, so
yeah.
I think with the moves that could potentially happen with Hearts, Shankland, there could be a couple of strikers there that could appear really cheap for potentially the third best team, so. But for Brown, I'm happy to see we're all with one. Not two yet, unless Ross County go on some sort of crazy run.
Donny?
Yeah, so Ross County is the sort of team you look to for budget and you try and pick out a gem. They have been relatively good over the last few seasons for that. St Johnstone was a team I mentioned before the season started that I think they're going to go down, and they've done everything they can to prove me right. So as Peter says, target them. They've got Celtic, Dundee, then Rangers. So, you know, you might find that they've got nothing out of those next three games. So just stay clear. I think Ross County, they've probably got to be pleased with their start to the season. They gave Celtic a, you know, good run for the money in the first part of that game, and a nice win here. But the names you've mentioned, Randall, Brown, Turner, they've, you know, they've had a good start. Whether that stays, you just have to wait and see. It is Ross County at the end of the day, so, you know, they're not going to go on a long run of wins, but you'll get the results now and again. But they've got to be happy with that, and a team that you can look at, you know, for budget-friendly players.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we've got St Mirren 2, Dundee 1. St Mirren's goals came from Shaughnessy OG, and Mandron scored the second with an assist from Boyd Munce. For Dundee, it was Josh Mulligan with an assist from Scott Tiffany, who we remember from Livingston. There's not really any big standouts in this game. No players got more than a single shot on target. Zach Robinson missed a penalty. I've seen him in a few drafts in the pre-season just because of his price. Mandron, the St Mirren striker as well, he was in quite a number of drafts. He was back this week, having he was out injured last week, and he could be a popular third-choice striker pick. Something to keep an eye on and see if he sort of gathers some momentum there. Conor McMenamin hit the woodwork in this fixture as well. I think St Mirren have got a bit of a mixed bag of fixtures. They've got Aberdeen, Rangers and Hearts in the next six. So I probably won't be rushing to get too many in. O'Hara's going to be out for a month or so by the sounds of it, due to a thigh injury. So that also may impact their form as well. He could be a transfer out for me this game week. And then Dundee, I think they're a void for me just now. There's no clear sort of standouts in terms of consistent returns. I've kind of got an inkling that's probably going to be the case for the rest of the season, as it was the last time they were in the Premier League. The goals were quite evenly spread amongst all the outfield players. But something to monitor for now. Donny, come with you first this time.
Yep, so Zach Robinson owner over here. Absolutely gutted, missed the pen. He's the third striker you've got on your bench that hope returns every now and again. So to miss out was a bit disappointing. I think if they scored that, it would have been 1-1. There might have been a bit more in the game, but they were 2-0 down before they sort of got back into it. O'Hara obviously was the main news for this one. As you say, we're probably all going to have to transfer out if you didn't already. I moved to Spittle on that basis. That didn't really work out, but it's quite an easy hold there. As for everything else fantasy wise, it was probably there was no clean sheet. There was no sort of usual returners. The guys that got Hemming in goals would have got the save points for the penalty, got bonus points. But you know, some of them have started the season well. They've been reliable the end of last season. Fixture-wise, it's a mixed bag. I don't know whether you rely on them on that front. Dundee, good for the budget, but you're going to have a few long, hard weeks in between wins if this is how they're going to perform. But, yeah, as I say, St Mirren have got to be happy with that 3 points.
Definitely. Peter?
Not much to add to that. Dundee, I don't really worry about them. I think they've got enough about them that if they continue to work hard under new manager, I think they'll do okay. I think they'll click at some point and be all right. I could be completely wrong, but that's what I see. St Mirren did finish the start of the season. It's like they finished it. They're playing pretty well. I had a wee Twitter search to see what the St Mirren fans thought, and they seem to be quite happy as well. They're kind of style of football. The full-backs bombing forward. McMenamin, is that the guy you mentioned midfield? I like to look at him as well. So they've got a kind of rough fixtures, like you said, but they seem to play well. So St Mirren could be a team you could go to here or there throughout the season. Maybe not when O'Hara's out, he seems to be the talisman figure, so maybe when he's back. But I'm not rushing any players, but I wouldn't be rushing to sell them either. They're deep, a lot of cheap, especially Dundee, a lot of cheap enablers to let you get other players that fit in your team.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Our next game then, Sunday fixtures, Aberdeen 1, Celtic 3. For Aberdeen, it was Miovski that scored with an assist from Duke. For Celtic, Abada scored with an assist from Maeda, then Kyogo, and then O'Reilly got the third with an assist from Yang. Carter Vickers was off at half-time. I didn't see many clean sheets coming for Celtic with him on the pitch, and I think probably even less now that he's injured. I think it might have been precautionary though, so he might be back next week. But even still, Celtic's defence don't fill me with confidence just now. We only really have to look at the Aberdeen goal. Nobody was near Miovski, and it was a sort of simple cutback from Duke to wipe out the clean sheet. In terms of Celtic's attack, Maeda was top for shots on target with four and missed three big chances. I think probably most managers will be on Kyogo instead anyway, and he's maintained his habit of scoring. I think O'Reilly seems to be the standout midfielder. Obviously, it's only two game weeks, but so far he's already managed to accumulate 23 points over those two games, and his price has risen up to 5.7 million. I think this week was kind of a sort of testament to don't sort of knee-jerk after one good performance. Obviously, Turnbull did well last week, and in this game week he was off at half-time. I think for O'Reilly, if he returns again next week, it's probably going to be an easy switch from Abada for me, but I've probably got other fires to put out in my team, namely O'Hara. That's really it for me for this one. Peter, what do you reckon?
A weird game watching it. I feel like it's a team that's in transition between Postecoglou's style of play to Rodgers' style of play. So you can see kind of bits and bobs. You look at players are standing out, and O'Reilly's the one to me so far. It's going to kind of thrive in this way. Similar, I know there's a lot of comparisons to Stuart Armstrong under Rodgers, similar type of player and a symbol of 10 role getting into the box. So he's quite high in my priority to bring in, I think, for Turnbull probably. Defensively, not yet. But still, when you've got Taylor playing the full-back role, he was never impressed playing that. He's better when he's playing inverted, and Ralston's not good enough for that level. I think I'd avoid no Celtic. I think he could score 3-4 goals, still see the goal no matter who they play. The goalkeeper's not exactly great either right now. Midfield to front, I think McGregor's now took up the position of like playing Scott Brown role a couple of years ago under Rodgers. Because though Donny, you mentioned before, like last season you could have basically stuck with McGregor, a Kamara type player, and ticked along nicely with the points coming in. I don't see it as much this year with McGregor, he's playing that deep. I think it would just be, for me, it's going to be Kyogo. He's a no-brainer. I'd bad it if he retains that position, but I don't know if he's nailed that down. And O'Reilly's the one that I want to bring in. The two, I think, defensively, not interesting. You're taking a punt elsewhere. Maeda is obviously classed as a striker, so you're losing one of your spots there, and it's a bit of a chunk of money. So I can see myself actually running with two Celtic players for the time being until the people nail positions in the squads. Because even though I had a score, I don't think he's done much in the game apart from that. So I don't know if he's nailed. Aberdeen were okay. Every time they get into the game, but Celtic seemed to score, and I kind of made them go cool again. So we might take for that. We all say this when they play Celtic Rangers, you don't really take much for it. But at Pretoria, I didn't expect more of a fight, and I suppose it kind of petered out at the end of the game.
Yep, Donny.
Yeah, so team news, there was still no Hatate in the starting lineup. Then when he did come on, he got subbed off again. So do we know the reason for that injury during the game?
I don't know if he felt something. It was precautionary. Yeah. I'm not too sure. Maybe transfer coming, season why he's injured.
But Aberdeen, there's a lot of confidence in the city at the moment, and they fought back well to get 1-1, and then they remembered they were playing Celtic and gave the lead straight back. So I've not had any Aberdeen defence for this reason. I think they are shaky at the back, and they've got pretty much a whole new back four. And it's about getting up to speed. One of you has mentioned that big centre-half that they've got is relatively cheap. I think going forward, that's the sort of player that you might want. And if you are looking at the Aberdeen defence, obviously Devlin had a howler in this game. We talked a lot about him before the start of the season. But yeah, a big shout-out to the Turnbull owners. Thought they'd want to watch last week and then got a big fat zero this week. That was pleasing to see. But as you both touched on, I think we might be looking in the wrong direction in the Celtic midfield. I think O'Reilly might have been a better shout. I think Tom mentioned last week that he was top for assists last season. We probably overlooked that fact. He's going to be consistent in that Celtic midfield. And when he returns with a goal, it's the cherry on top. So if you can make your way to him, that might be a good one. Abada, for me, is still holding the spot. But doubling up, I wouldn't be dead against that. Fixture-wise, Aberdeen, they'll go into their European campaign soon, so they'll play Sundays, so you're not going to see anything there. Celtic have got a gimme game week 3, and they could literally go wild against St Johnstone before they go to Ibrox the following week, so plan ahead for that. But you know, standard win against Aberdeen, as you'd expect from Celtic.
Yep. Our next game then, Hearts 0, Kilmarnock 0. And when I seen the scoreline, the first thing I thought was, that's good, another clean sheet till Kilmarnock, because I kind of had Ndaba, the 2.4 million defender earmarked as last week, and he's looking like a good bargain, so perhaps one for one of my two transfers will be him. I think they've got a decent run of fixtures as well. In terms of Hearts as well, it's also pleasing to see another clean sheet. They've got a good run up until game week 9, and then they play Celtic and Rangers back to back. So maybe a defensive double up isn't the greatest of ideas just now. Or I suppose you could switch in and switch back out again. But good for Clark owners. In terms of attacking returns, Matty Kennedy, he's the only player to have more than a single shot on target in this game. So it is quite difficult to comment on the attackers. I think Hearts will probably have one eye on Rosenborg this week. They lost 2-1, but the fixture's still open. So I think perhaps they're holding back for that one. The striker, Tagawa, he seemed to be playing as the main striker up front. So that's a situation to monitor. Obviously, recent news about Shankland as well, possibly getting a transfer out. So there'll be a role there to fill. For Kilmarnock, Lyons, we remember him last week. He's the guy that scored against Rangers. He's only 3 million. He managed to get 5 points this week with the bonus points. So he's perhaps a cheap enabler to work with the bench trick. Free up some funds there. I think we've got a question about cheapy defenders, so won't say too much. Peter, I'll come to you first.
Also, a brief eyes on this game, but what I took from it was Kilmarnock was a better team again, so I think Hearts were lucky to get this one draw. I know Dory doubled up with the Hearts defence and was kind of bemoaning it, but it worked out for him this time. Is it Kingsley you brought in, Dory?
Yes, Kingsley for Ralston, so I was happy with that switch.
Is Kingsley the one that rotates with Cochrane, but is that the one that might be coming back out again? Right, okay. That's why I didn't go the walk, because I was, even though people were telling me Kingsley's nailed, I think once Cochrane's back in and unsuspended back in the team, so I didn't want to go there. Plus, my anti-Hearts bias means I can't really double up my half defence after slagging at the start of the season. I've got to continue to play that gimmick. The talk for the Hearts fans about Shankland didn't look interesting in this game. I suppose if he has to turn a big transfer, a big wage, then understandable. You'd like to think he's a captain. He would turn up on Thursday for the European game, track himself through. And just also to note that the Saudi Arabian transfer window doesn't shut to the 20th of September. So just because he's here September the 1st doesn't mean he's going to be here 3 weeks later. Clark's good acts, obviously. You picked Clark as well for goalkeeper, Donny. That's been a good start to the season, so we've worked out there. Kilmarnock, I think, are going to be a sleeper team. I think he's got them playing very similar to Aberdeen of old. Very compact, very hard to beat. Don't get beat first and then take it for there. And I think there's going to be quite a few cheap Kilmarnock assets we can go kind of dip in out of the end of the season so far anyway.
Yep, Donny?
Yeah, so both teams yet to concede a goal. In fact, the only teams not to concede a goal this season. You certainly wouldn't have said that based on last year's stats. But my double Hearts defence was more fluke than anything else. I was travelling at the time, making my changes, took a -4. I knew I didn't want the Celtic defence. Took in Kingsley, thinking that I had submitting goalkeeper, and then I realised it was a Hearts goalkeeper. So I was kind of hoping that it would end in a clean sheet, and luckily for me that it did. So I was very happy with that. Shankland owners, no goals in the booking. Armstrong owners, no goals in the booking. That kind of hurts. I'm not really sure what to make of Hearts. They've not really got any standouts other than Clark. And if Shankland's misfiring or gets sold, you're going to have to rely on, you know, unknown quantities. Kelly, on the other hand, as Peter mentioned, I think are much better value for money. And again, they're not going to play like that every week. They're going to go on a bad run, but in amongst that, you'll get some reasonable results. But definitely value in that squad. Fixture wise, both teams have got pretty good fixtures. Certainly don't play any of the top two in the next few weeks. So they'll be hoping that the form continues. If you've got Shankland, just wait to see how that pans out. If he leaves, then you'll get a free transfer. Armstrong's going to come good in other fixtures. So again, I wouldn't worry too much about that. But fantasy-wise, it's still early days. So we'll wait and see what comes of these two teams going forward.
Yeah, I actually forgot about the free transfer, so that's interesting. Our last game then, we've got Motherwell 2, Hibs 1. For Motherwell, it was Connor Wilkinson that scored with an assist from Mika Bierith. And then he also scored the second as well. For Hibs, it was Adam Lafondre that scored with his penalty. But not a lot happened in this game. There's only four shots on target, and three of those were goals. Dan Casey for Motherwell hit the woodwork. Bierith, he only came on at the 55-minute mark, but he obviously did well. He's only 4.2, so he could be an emerging sort of third striker option there. In terms of Hibs, I'm a bit sort of, I was expecting kind of bigger things from Hibs this season, but so far they've been a bit flat. Maybe still heads are down after that European away tie, but who knows there. In terms of Motherwell, obviously, I think they're going to struggle to fill the space that Van Veen left. The goals seem to be sort of evenly matched over the last couple of games, so we're yet to see who the sort of talisman is. If there is one, perhaps the goals might be spread amongst the team. A bit of a disappointing one for Spittle owners as well. Not really a lot happening there. So I'll be interested to hear what you guys have got to think. Donny, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so a good result for Motherwell against the Hibs team that in the league have still to impress. They've lost, what, 5 goals in 2 league games. So as a defensive unit, not very good. Needless to say, I've got a Hibs defender in my team, so that's something that needs addressed. Yeah, Spittle was my change when O'Hara got injured. Didn't get a return, but fixture-wise, you would hope that he can in the next few games. Boyle, for somebody who champions Boyle as an asset in the game, I'm not sold on him yet. I think he's maybe just been brought back too early and the games are providing fitness for him. I think once he does score and they get a result, you could look to jump on him. But if you've got him, maybe just stay. If you're thinking about him, again, maybe just stay until you see something happen. Motherwell, I say it'd be disappointing not to keep the clean sheet. I think we've all got part of the Motherwell defence. Lafondre, I think he scored twice now in the league. He must be a pretty cheap third striker option. But again, it's such an early point in the season that you're going to take risks going with any of these guys. Some weeks it'll work out, some weeks it won't. But certainly a good result for Motherwell. Hibs go into Europe, hoping that they get this big game against Villa. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yep, Pierre?
Yep, I think Hibs are struggling with the Sunday-Thursday football. I think when they're trying to excel in the season, get up the fitness, and let Donny mention Boyle. If it was Sunday or Saturday, I think Boyle would be fine to play, but they're trying to bring him into the team because he's always influential, but he can't play the full 90 minutes. They're taking him off, and I feel it's affecting him. I've got a question on that later, but I think Boyle will come good once he's fit. I won't worry about it right now, but it's just maybe not an asset to jump to right now. Like Donny says, about a week where he'll explode, probably against Celtic Rangers, but that's when he always does that against the team you don't expect him to do it against one of these games, and then he'll be good, and then you go, right, let's quote him. Motherwell, he's both covered it. I think they're struggling. The Van Veen shaped hole up front. Quite a lot of new players, a lot of young players in the team as well. So it's a matter of time. I think the manager's got them set up all right. They'll do okay eventually. It's a matter of just, as Donny said, it's really early in the season. It's only 2 game weeks. Just let things settle. We've got a cup this week and another game week, and then it's after game week 4, we've got an international break. I believe that's right as well. And then you might see teams kind of gelling more, coming together, more training time, and maybe you'll get a better picture of teams like Motherwell and Hibs.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yep. So just to conclude then, we've got this game week's top 10. Up first is Connor Randall, the defender at Ross County, with his goal and clean sheet for 15 points. Barisic comes in at second, obviously Rangers defender with 13. Mika Bierith, who we just talked about, 12 points. Kyle Turner, midfielder at Ross County, got 10 points. Connor Wilkinson, 10 points. George Harmon, defender at Ross County, 9 points. Maeda, forward at Celtic, 9 points. Danilo, 9 points. Matt O'Reilly, 9 points. And Todd Cantwell, 8 points, which gives us goalkeepers nothing as per. Defenders, 3. Midfielders, 3. And forwards, 4. I think most of those names are probably names that you would expect, given the price tags, and then there's a few kind of one-week wonders in there. And then the Ross County guys who seem to be the sort of the cheap enablers that are the form team just now. Anything you can take away from that, Peter?
Just you mentioned there quite a lot of the names you would suspect to be in the top 10, so that probably helps the casuals who have started the game this year. Maybe pick names they know and they're all returning, so it might keep them engaged longer until they start trying up, you get a random week, but all the experts like ourselves know these guys are going to hit, nobody else does. Well, that's a joke, I don't think so. But anyway, yeah, it started off, the players who we can move for last season, majority of them have turned up again this year, so it has been quite reliable. Again, like you say, they're always 1 week punts come out of nowhere, that's just going to happen. It happens in FPL as well, but yeah, so far so good.
Donny?
Yeah, I mean, I missed out on quite a few of those names, but don't make any knee-jerk reactions, it is only game week 2, a defender may never score again for the rest of the season and you've jumped on him thinking that he's the next best thing. So take it with a pinch of salt. The guys that finish top point scorers at the end of the season are usually the guys that are worth a good bit of money. So use that as your radar and pick up, you know, the odd gem through over the course of the season. But still early days. You'll hear me say that a lot these first few weeks, but it's true.
Yep, that's us.
Right, okay, Don, you get any bring up after the first couple of game weeks?
Yeah, so I've just quickly gone through the 12 teams and made a note of what I've seen so far. As I say, it's early days, but if there's anything that you can take from this, then go with it. So Aberdeen, I touched on in the Celtic game, but defensively is their main concern, and they now head into Europe and play on Sundays. So if you're going to be brave with an Aberdeen defence and say they've got Devlin and this new centre-half, seem reasonable. You might have Rusin goals, but you're just going to have to stick with it because you're not going to see the team used and you're just going to have to roll with it. In the middle, nothing really catching fire there. And up front, we know what dangers they provide. And Miovski did score against Celtic. So still a reasonable team to rely on as far as fantasy goes. For Celtic, stay clear of the defence. The 3 goals in 2 games. We've got Rangers on the horizon. They're too high value. You can spend your money better elsewhere. The names that we've mentioned already, Abada, Kyogo, O'Reilly, are all on form and will get you far better returns. For Dundee, I don't think they've fully adjusted yet. I've seen a lot of teams with Pineda, or whatever he's called, the Mexican. He was 3.3, but there's also a forward in the game called Bakayoko. They're both 3.3, and it's Bakayoko who's playing. He's played both games. So if you're able to, you maybe want to switch those out and get value there. Hearts, 2 clean sheets in 2 games. Again, another team playing on Sundays. Shankland, just wait. If he leaves, great. There's going to be a cheap Hearts forward in the game. If he doesn't, then you can obviously just hold on to him and see what happens. Personally, for Shanklin, moving to Dubai, good luck to him as a Scotsman doing business over there. That's going to be a sore one for him. Hibs, again, nothing really in the Hibs team at the moment. They're poor defensively. Boyd's not catching fire. Up front, it's hard to know who the talisman is. I thought it was going to be Ewan, but he's not really done much. Kilmarnock, I think we've praised Kilmarnock enough. They got that win against Rangers. Brad Lyons making a name for himself. Armstrong, over the course of a season, will probably get you more points than not. Mayo is obviously a recognised name at the back, but Tom touched on Ndaba, I think it's pronounced, at 2.4 million. That would be a gem as well. Stick him on the bench and get points there. For Livingston, I think they've got good fixtures coming their way, and that's the kind of ones you want to target. I always fancy a Livingston defender, whether it be Obalai or one of the other ones. You will get a return every few games from them. Motherwell, I say they've not had any clean sheets yet. I think we've all got a Motherwell defender in our team. And then the two names that Tom mentioned, beg your pardon, Beerus and Wilkinson, they're both in that 4.2 million slot. So if you're looking to change, like, so I've got Zach Robinson, I could go there in terms of like for like. Rangers obviously had a bad start. For me, it's Tav and Cantwell. With any of the others, some weeks you'll miss and some weeks you'll hit. It's whether you take the risk. But as Peter mentioned, there's plenty of games before they play next, so you'll get a better idea. Ross County, well, they do have Rangers next, but they've got three defenders on double points after two games, so we're quite rightly talking them up. Kyle Turner in midfield is also catching the eye, and Jordan White seems to be the main target man up front, who, funnily enough, has a good record against Rangers, so just watch the space. St Johnstone, one word, void. Well, you could swap that with target. And for St Mirren, defensively, not quite sure at the moment. Obviously, Strain at 3.2 million is probably too much of your budget to be spending there. O'Hara, we're also going to lose him for some time now. Don't see any direct replacements in that midfield. Up front, Mandron, again, he could fill that third striker role. But with two games, you know, there's not much to go on. You'll get anomalies, defenders scoring, never score again. Game week three, we've got the Cup and European games in between. So again, if you follow the game, just keep an eye on the squads and the performances there. But don't panic, play your own game. I was in the whole transfer camp all week and then took a minus four come Saturday. And rank-wise, I still got a huge green arrow. So, you know, just do what's right for yourself. Don't worry what the other guys are up to. And just, you know, keep plugging away. Plenty of time to catch up.
Well done. Right, so we've got a couple of questions and we'll cover I know the fixtures are 2 weeks away, but we'll cover the fixtures and our early transfer kind of plans and then we'll go on to the cup draw and actually buzz. So the questions, they're very vague questions. These ones go from the crazy to the, I suppose, obscure, but we'll hear the answer. First up is Lard O'Connor. Should we all wildcard immediately and then wildcard again the following week? Well, to me, that's a hard no. I don't know what he's thinking. He didn't give me any kind of pretense what that's about. I'm going to take it you're going to agree. No wildcard this early season. You've built your team in game 8-1 with a purpose to match your team going forward.
Even if you take a minus four, look, I took a minus four. I'm quite happy to take another minus four that generally would change your team enough, but no need to knee jerk after two games. Wait and see. You do get two, so I suppose if you did, you're not really going to lose that much. But two games is a bit early to rip it all up and start again. Give it some more time.
What's Tom?
Yeah, far too early for me. Wouldn't even consider it.
I mean, the worst case scenario, you roll a transfer, then you take a minus four, like Donnie's saying, you could have three, like a mini wild card, and you should pretty much, I'd imagine, be able to fix any serious problems with the team or not. Unless a lot of casuals I've seen have picked a lot of non-playing players, maybe that's the problem. They picked a lot of cheapies and you see them like they've nothing on the bench, so if one of the players don't play, they've nothing coming on, so maybe that's done. But then there is now players becoming available. You can't have all the top price players, just need to kind of manage it as best you can. Next up is FPL Liga. How long is Hara out for? So we've all covered that. It's been mentioned 3 to 4 weeks, potentially. Yep. So if you look at that fantasy-wise, next week's a cup week. So if he comes back fit, he might miss 3 game weeks. I wouldn't be rushing to him. I'd be take, if I had him in my team, it's quite a sizable chunk of money in the midfield. I'd be probably getting him out and Milner comes back. Another wild card question. Is it now the right time to wild card? Can I lads see any double game weeks ahead? So wild card recovered. So any double games ahead, Tom?
Is there any just now? I don't think so, no.
No, not yet. It always happens in the Cups, doesn't it? It's when the...
Yeah.
Memory serves me right. Scottish Cup's got a set Saturday, so that doesn't really affect it. It's a League Cup, doesn't have a set Saturday once after a second round. Am I right, Donny? And then you have to get games in then.
Also, bad weather usually affects the fixtures in Scotland. So anytime November onwards, you can get games called off. We had a double game week last season where the second round of games, I think, were affected by the weather. So it didn't really turn out as much of a double as before. So you've always got to watch, but there's no plan. It's usually, you know, Rangers set to get to the cup final, then their fixture might run in a double game week. But they're not as much as you get in FPL. Say that. They're not guaranteed.
If all the favourites get through in the cup and they avoid each other, I think from the quarterfinals onwards, you should get double game week news. Sotty's only good on a ticker for updating that. I'm sure how it works because we put each other in the cup final last year. So if you avoid teams and then obviously it's on that, is it, what's the channel called now? It's not called
Viaplay.
Viaplay. So they want to show the game. So they want to start the Sunday game football slot. So that means they've got to come out of the league slot. And unless they slot in the week, midweek game continue on, but it didn't happen last year, didn't it? So they actually added to a game week. So I think that's about that. So you'll find out roughly about October, November time, double game. So plenty of time ahead to plan for it. Right, next question. From Rambo. This is a loaded one. My first question is big price defenders. Midfielders performing less than expected. Is it going to be foolish not to attack Livy away against Hibs? Where there are plenty of midfielders rotation going, midfield still not set with Boyle, Campbell, Devitt. So I think we can all cover that. It is too early. It's only 2 weeks into the season. Hibs midfield's a bit of a minefield right now. Once they're knocked out of Europe, which will happen either this week or when they play Villa, let's be honest, they're not going to get through Villa. Then they might see a set of 11, set of midfield with Boyle in there. I don't know. Attack Livy, I think because you looked at one result, if Rangers beat Livy 4-0 against Livy's attack, I would be warned against that, especially Livingston at home. They're not a team you'd want to attack when they're at home. They can be quite reliable and quite sturdy normally and they're quite hard to break down. Thoughts on that, Bernie? Livingston home form?
Yeah, that's when they're most dangerous at home. You know, the pitch and your solid defence. You know, they might be coming off the back of a European game as well. So, you know, for Hibs' team, I wouldn't be targeting them. They've lost 5 goals. It could almost go the other way. As for the midfield, I don't rate Levitt at all at the moment. He's done nothing to show last season or this season that he's worthwhile in the game. Boyle, I've mentioned, he will kick on at some point, but I don't think he's fully fit. But always be wary of Livingston at home. I certainly wouldn't attack them.
Ain't that to that, Tom?
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
Next up is from FPL Showroom. Who are the players on your radar that surprised you the most so far? So I'll go first. Donny's quite clear that I think there's 3 Ross County players in double digits so far. James Brown, so he's the one that I'm standing out so far, done pretty well. Any players to add to that, Tom?
Probably all the Kilmarnock back line. Lyons, the midfielder. And probably Matt O'Reilly, probably didn't expect him to be sort of the main returner. I think he would do well, but I always thought there would be sort of guys outscoring him. But for Matt O'Reilly to be the standout midfielder at this point, I was surprised at that.
Well, if he's looking for bigger names for bigger clubs, then I would say Lammers and O'Reilly's the 2 that have done well so far. Donny, anyone else to add any names surprise you so far this season?
No, Tom just stole that last one. You all said the same names. I'm sitting here thinking O'Reilly, and then Tom said it. So, no, I think all the names that we've mentioned on the podcast today are all ones that you should be looking at. They're consistent, and that's one thing you're not getting after 2 weeks. So I think that's the best way to look at it.
Next up is from at Frysil, and he asked, the best sub 3 million midfielder? And I think we've already covered it a couple of times. I'll ask that with you, Tom. Best sub 3 million midfielder.
Lyons. Well, he's not sub, but he's 3 million. He's probably the best in the game.
I'll let you have it.
And then Kyle Turner would be a close second. because I tilted him at the start of the season, so I'm sticking
with
that.
You got your back, double down on that.
Got back my guy, aye.
The other one I like, and he's not returned yet, is the Miller boy from Motherwell. He's still 2.5. He's played both games. He's cheap, bench trick, enabler. Lions have won so far, but let's give it 7 or 8 more game weeks and we'll see what players under 3 million have returned the most points. Any players to add to that, Donny?
No, so you both mentioned the names that I had written down. I also went Spittle at the weekend. I think Lowry at Hearts, 3.5 million. I think that could be a shout. He was out most of last season, but the season before he finished strongly for Rangers. A lot of Rangers fans rate him highly. I think his season at Hearts could prove pivotal for him. He's 3.5. He could do well for them, but all these guys are risky at that price range. It's a difficult one.
Yeah, the price that reason for a reason, basically. They're young or they're just in the league and inexperienced. Right, so FPL Baiting, we've kind of covered this as well. Who are the replacements midfield for Mark O'Hara at 4.1 or less? You mentioned a couple of names there. Do any other names to add to that one?
Not that I can think of, no.
Tom?
No, just the ones that have been mentioned so far.
Yeah, pretty much the same question twice. That's, you would need to be stretching to similar price points, a couple of point mil more to get a team, so you need to be going downgrading a cheap player, or you need to be making a bit of transfer surgery and bring somebody else down to bring up a midfielder to maybe an Armstrong or something like that, but that's the way so far. Nobody's really stepped out for the back yet to be, apart from Lines, to be that kind of cheap midfield enabler. Next up is from Graham Brown at Graham B and loads of numbers. Should I keep or sell Boyle? So we've all kind of discussed this. I'll call you first, Boyle. Would you keep Boyle if you had him, Tom, or would you sell Boyle? I can give you a bit of context. He's not getting any, he's not got a hair on his team, so Boyle's is the one that he's got. He's got Abada and Boyle, and the rest are kind of cheap midfielders.
I mean, the other cheap midfielders haven't really done that much. Like Spittle, he got 3 bonus points last week, but other than that, not a lot. Armstrong, was he not playing as a
slightly deeper?
Yeah, he's played deeper. He's not really done anything yet. O'Hara's obviously out injured now. Would you switch to another Hibs midfielder? Probably not. So I think he's probably a hold just now. I'd wait and see and give him a bit more time. You're not really trading him off for anything dramatically better.
I agree. You build your team. You go to Boyle's player in a couple of weeks and see if they return. If he gets to game week 5 or 6, he's done nothing, then you go, right, okay, it didn't work, and I'll move. But until you're going to kind of back what you've decided on why you went for him. He's not a bad player. He's not a bad transfer in. It wasn't a bad option bringing your team once you knew he was playing. He just hasn't done anything yet. But as I've all alluded to, there is ball attempt of all. He will go nuts at some point and probably against the Rangers, let's be honest. Donny, Boyle, would you hold him or would you sell him?
If I had him, I'd keep him. I don't have him, I'm not going to get him. So, and that doesn't really help, but he's on penalties. That's always good in this game. And for that reason, that's why I'm more leaning towards having him. He will kick. It'll be a game where he gets a double and that'll be it. We'll all get on the Boyle train, but I wouldn't swap him out. You said his midfield there. It doesn't sound like he's got Cantwell, is that right? So
no,
that's
Cantwell.
A bit risky. You know, that might burn up 2 transfers, but that would be the only way I would go. I'd only go up the way. I don't think you get any better down the way for a midfielder that takes penalties that has got a good reputation in the game. So keep them at least another couple of weeks. I think they've got, you know, they'll have a break, whether it's because they're out of Europe or the cup game, he might get rested. So I'd keep them if I had them.
Yeah, the obvious answer is O'Hara, but O'Hara's injured, so that's...
Yeah.
We don't go it. Right, and the last question is from John Cameron. That's at Cammy37. This is for you, Donny. Assuming Barisic is a starter, is the massive price delta versus potential, in brackets penalty, upside now too big to stick with Tav versus Barisic?
Well, my answer in reply would be, why not have both? I guess, you know, if you had Tav, Barisic and Cantwell, you'd miss out on the forwards, but again, using 2 games where we've not had a penalty or an assist from Tav is probably a bit short-sighted. Barisic, you know, his long-term position can't be guaranteed. You know, Yilmaz, much maligned last season and is having a similar start this season. He is back in training. I could see quite easily him getting replaced and maybe sticking with Barisic for the European games until we see how that pans out. But I think, as we said at the start, Tav's surely got to be a better longer-term return than Barisic, who may or may not even be playing that position in the next couple of weeks. So if you can, might run both. I guess his main question is to do with the price difference, so that doesn't really help. But I wouldn't favour Borna ahead of Tav. I think that's foolish. But at the same time, so far so good. But I don't see that over the long term.
I completely agree. I wouldn't go with Barisic over Tavernier. I think Tavernier more nailed, more chance of returns. If it's a budget issue, then fair enough, you're covering some of what your points could get while you're still holding the position down. But I think there's points made elsewhere in your team rather than double up in that defence. Tom, thoughts on Barisic versus Tavernier?
No, I think I'd stick with Tavernier for now, just for the time being. Too early to say. Obviously, Yilmaz is coming back into the fold again. And then Tav's obviously on a lot of set pieces, so you can't really judge a player off two game weeks.
I do get it. Anybody that's listened to the podcast or listened to us talk or looked at the game in detail, I've just seen Tavernier's broke the game 2 years in the trot, maybe casual jump on him, and he hasn't done anything yet, I suppose. So they're thinking, well, they're a bit knee jerky.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you just got to hold on weight. You know, come into the season, he's going to be in that top 3 or 4 points, probably top again if Pentland Rangers becomes a recurring occurrence again. But we'll see about that. But I think Tavernier's the safest bet at defence. As you said, he's on so many avenues to returns. He's a captain as well, so he's pretty much undroppable. Unless he's injured, I think he's got to stick with Tav. You take the money, you bite, you know what you're going to get back from it. Right, that is the questions. So, look at the fixtures. I know it's a week away, but we'll have a quick look, and we'll look at our early transfer plans, and we'll do the cup draw. Right, so game week 3 is obviously 2 weeks' time. So we'll have one early kickoff, so you'll only see two teams early news for that. The rest of it used to be pray and hope. So we've got Ross County versus Rangers early kickoff. Then later on we have St Mirren vs Aberdeen, Motherwell versus Kilmarnock, Hibs versus Livingston, Dundee versus Hearts, and Celtic versus St Johnstone. So Tom, like me, you have two transfers because you rolled.
Mm-hmm.
Don, you've only got one because you took a minus four. So what is your early transfer captain and vice captain plans, Donny?
I'm not against taking another minus four to get where I need to be. I think I need to beef up my midfield. So I'll have a look at that. Whether I can take in O'Reilly with a Rangers game coming up, I'm not sure I'd fancy that. But I'll wait and see the other time. But as I say, I'll definitely be making one, if not two changes. And then by that point, my team should be a lot better shape. Captains and vice-captains will just stick with Tavi and Kyogo. That seems reasonable enough for this next round of fixtures.
Tom, plans, transfers, captains, vice-captains?
I think O'Hara's going to have to go, given how much he costs and how long he's out for. So O'Hara to Lions could be an option there. I'm not too sure about the second one. I'll have some money left over, so I suppose I could go Tim Parks to Ndaba. He's only 0.1 more, but I don't have any money to do that. So that would free up some funds. So that could be an option there as well. I don't know, Celtic at home to St Johnston could be a lot of goals there. So I don't know. I could be tempted to come off Captain Tav and put the captaincy and vice captaincy on two Celtic players. I only have Abada and Kyogo just now, so I suppose one of those could be captain, one of those could be vice. Probably Captain Abada, since he tends to get more likely to get assists than Kyogo, and vice Kyogo.
So, similar boat to you, I've only one player that's not playing, it's Parks. So, I think he'll go probably a Kilmarnock defender. And Ndaba, probably the one I go for. And I think Turnbull will become O'Reilly. And that's me, you got my team pretty much to be a delight to look, I think. Like yourself, depends on injuries. If Atati's back and he's playing, the window shut, but it's, well, not shut, we'll still go on. If there's rumours that he's still here and we're going to play a full strength team, I think I might do the captain O'Reilly, vice captain Furuhashi. Rangers away game, sticky up there, I don't know. Again, I could just get to the time and stick still. Tav, captain, vice captain, he only stick to normal. But that's the plans. I think I'll bring in O'Reilly. I think he's the one to go for. I've got 0.9 million in the bank. I didn't use all the money, so I've got plenty of cash to maneuver to that. And I just want the cheapest defender that's playing, that's not one already got a team. So we'll obviously get Motherwell, Rangers, Aberdeen, and Ross County. So Parks would become Kilmarnock. Can actually be a nice spread to be Hearts keeper. So I think that's what I'm going to look for. But again, it's 2 weeks away, so that could all change. But that's tentative plans. Because I think Riley's going to go up again. So if you don't bring him in this week, he's going to become 5.8. And if you hold off again, you're going to be close to hitting the Jota-type prices at 6 million plus for him. And then how do you get to him without sacrificing either another Celtic player or just play somewhere else? So I think I need to take a move this week. Okay. Right, the draw for the cup then. So I've got 32 names here. Donny, do you want home or away?
I'll take home.
Nice. So it's just 32 names randomly. We've got a number next to it. If you shout a name that I've already got, I'll just go the one up right underneath it. And that's just going to work easy peasy, right? So let me get my notes here and here. So if I say their name and if they've knocked out somebody big in the community, I'll say. Otherwise, I'll just go on it, right? So, right, Donny, you go first. Pick a number.
Okay, number 8.
Is Thomas Lemon 18?
21.
Is Tom's dad, who knocked out fellow podcaster Hoofball Pod, Hugh?
Okay, number 23.
Is Hugh Wardrobe, friend of the caravan? Did he knock out? He knocked out Rambo. I think he was the slayer of Muno Ramba in the last first round.
Yeah, Rambo thought he had it after 1 week, and then I reminded him it was two legs.
number 32.
Oh, there you are. That's me. It's Pedro, Battle of Caravan.
Okay, number 3.
Is Billy Hathaway?
Number 19.
Is Scott Prem Fantasy, who knocked out Gavin with all the numbers after his name?
Okay, number 15.
Is Ash Nairn 88, who has the highest score in the first round and sitting quite high up in the Mega League?
29.
Is Kevo Fish?
Probably a good matchup. Number 1.
The Slayer of Donny, Chris Norwood, 13.
I can see why you gave him the number 1 seed.
I did that. That was a decent answer.
26.
C1 underscore AB3. Let me see. Yep, he knocked out Sutton, so not one of the big guns
Oh
on
well, yeah. Okay, number 28.
There's a very own Tom.
Number 6.
Is Steph Ball and Golly, or man for the caravan, who knocked out Poppy in our first cup tournament? She bombed out straight away.
Okay, number 27.
Blades Attack.
Number 13.
Andrew M. Then loads of numbers. He's called the Humble Woodcutter online.
Okay, number 5.
Is John Easton, who knocked out Ewan RFC 83. And I say that because I'm sure Ewan gets to the late sees all the cups that I can remember. He's always in the last 8 or last 4. So there you go, John Easton.
Number 32.
Is Cammy 37, who knocked out FPL Pie. Another one who thought he was out one through the first round and then realised it's two legs.
Number 20.
E Forest 55.
Number 11.
Sorry, T Forest knocked out Melvino, so another name knocked out. And number 11 is Grant Brownlee, who knocked out Fitbapod Scobie.
Number 9.
Is O'Byrne 89.
Number 7.
Is We Are Kelly.
Number 2.
Glascunian.
Number 22.
Is MIDI 2304.
Okay, number 4.
FPL Liga.
Number 23.
Is Josh Mack 05.
Number 18.
Lockie Hynett.
Number 30.
Versus Darren Sneddon, who beat Skoosh. Skoosh was unlucky, he got knocked out 129 points.
No. Number 10.
Barracuda, reigning double champion last year at Two Cups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, number 31.
Is FPL Shoreham.
14.
Is FPL General.
25.
Pemberton Gaffer, who knocked out Hoofball Pod Hamish.
24.
It's Samuel Mack, 05. There's one left.
17.
Is Aaron McLeod. So there's your draw. Last fit two starts game week 3. Thomas Lemon versus Tom Stad. Hugh Wardle versus Pedro. Billy Hadaway versus Scott Prem Fantasy. Ashney in 88 versus Cable Fish. Chris Norwood 13 versus C1_AV3. Tom versus Steph Bolingoli. Blades Attack versus Andrew M761. Numbers. John Easton versus Cammy 37. T Forrest 55 versus Grant Brownlee. O'Burn 89 versus We Are Kelly. Glascurian versus Mida 2304. FPL Liger versus Josh Michael 5. Loki Hynett versus Darren Sneddon. Barracuda versus FPL Shoreham. FPL General versus Pemberton Gaffer. And Samuel Michael 5 versus Aaron McLeod. So a lot of new names there. A lot of things we knocked out in the first round. So we'll see how that goes. I will put this online later so you'll be able to see your draw and start your trash talk to your opponent in 2 weeks' time. For the next round of the cup. And again, it's two-legged, so don't be jumping in after one leg. You've won. A few people made that mistake. And that is us. So you might get your plugs in, guys. Where we go, Donny?
Yep, so I am at @FFS_Donny.
And I'm at @FFS_Scout.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again a couple weeks' time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.